This is the Hoosier Ag Today podcast, the latest Indiana farm news plus markets, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with weather. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. I'm Andy Eubank. Good morning. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller are here today with the news, including an appearance at the Fort Wayne Farm Show by Ryan Martin with a springtime planting weather look ahead and diving into meat exports to the UK. Ryan also has the near-term forecast, and yesterday corn and soybean trade took some profits. We'll have market analysis with Arlen Suderman on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
Weather comes springtime. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting from the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum and the Fort Wayne Farm Show on Hoosier Ag Today. And I'm with the self-proclaimed world's okayest meteorologist. It's a t-shirt and everything. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here. And Ryan, you just gave a little bit of an outlook here a little while ago to the folks at the Fort Wayne Farm Show about the forecast coming up. What say you about springtime 2025?
Well, it's kind of interesting. What I told the folks here was, you know, look, we just came out of an almost unprecedented fall. Now, when it comes to harvest, it was unprecedented with the speed that we did. But if you look at the five-month precipitation combined to finish last year, so Dece, Nov, back into October, August, September, we have only done that kind of precipitation setup seven other times going all the way back to 1895. So trying to see some patterns here and what happens after that. Four out of those 7 years, we ended up with a very, very dry April and May. The other three, all over the board. But I think right now, the way that we're setting this up, we've got a long tail to this dryness that we ended 2024 with. And I think that leads into a fairly friendly spring planting season. Is it going to be all roses and sunshine? Probably not, but friendly, I think, to get this crop in.
What kind of process do you go through to look for this type of thing this far out? I mean, here we are, early January, and you're trying to predict what things are going to be come planting time. Obviously, weather changes. You can't put it out day by day, but there is some science behind this, right?
Yes, I have a large rock suspended from a rope. Some of you know it as the old Indian weather rock, and I consult that quite a bit. But in all actuality, Eric, when you look at longer-term forecasts, it's about pattern recognition, trying to find a pattern. Just like in marketing, you try and find patterns on charts. For the technicals, we look back through and try and find patterns. Does that mean what happened in 1635 is going to happen again? No, absolutely not. But if you find patterns, we can get a little insight as to maybe what a season is going to unfold as, with its little curveballs here and there. But we feel fairly confident about the pattern that we're seeing right now.
And you're here at the Fort Wayne Farm Show. Folks can come see you while you do your day job with Louis Dreyfus Company here at the Fort Wayne Farm Show. Come on back, say hi to Ryan. You're doing other stuff here with soybeans, right? You want to talk to people about that.
Exactly. I'm the world's okayest bean buyer as well. So come by Louis Dreyfus. We'll talk about the bean markets and what's going on, and to talk a little bit probably about our new plant over in Ohio as well.
CJ Miller has the rest of the news coming up next here on Hoosier Ag Today. The Fort Wayne Farm Show, open until 8 tonight.
One of the greatest advantages of working with your local farmer-owned cooperative is sharing in its success. Keystone Cooperative is thrilled to announce over $68 million in patronage, all being paid back to our farmer owners after a historic 2024. That's 57% of our profits going directly to the farmers who own us. Unlike private or publicly owned companies, Keystone reinvests in Main Street, not Wall Street. We're proud to return this $68 million to farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. The Keystone Cooperative Advantage, centered on you.
Well, as President Trump returns to the White House Monday, ag leaders are hopeful that his new administration will bring about progress on trade negotiations with the United Kingdom.
We have basically no access into the UK for U.S. beef, and that's a $2 billion market, of which we're essentially out of.
And that's Erin Borer with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. She says the U.K. also presents an outstanding opportunity for other meat exports.
And on the pork side, also tremendous potential. And the U.K. imports 630,000 tons of pork a year, about $2.8 billion. Again, U.S. pork hardly there.
Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at FCMA.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A little bit less lake effect here today across northern parts of the Hoosier State and better sunshine potential everywhere. We move into midweek with still plenty of cold air sitting here, but I think we're off of some of those frigid lows that we saw earlier in the week. We are definitely going to be seeing an air mass that is not as cold trying to come in for tomorrow, and that's ahead of some big temperature moderation to finish the week. However, tomorrow we also see a return of some northwest flow, so I'm looking at more clouds for Thursday. That's across northern Indiana and most of Ohio. Central and southern Indiana should escape some of these clouds, but we'll also watch for some snowflakes tomorrow up north. Moving into the end of the week, as we kind of alluded to, some significant warm air coming in for Friday, well above normal temperatures, and that's front running our next system. That system comes up from the southwest overnight Friday night through a Saturday morning to midday. And let's just say, with every successive round of data, this moisture moves farther and farther north. I'm looking now for a significant round of precipitation to come through all of Indiana. I was talking rain and wet snow mixing earlier. Now I think, with the timing being a large part overnight, most of this could be wet snow, and I can look for anywhere from a tenth to maybe 5 or 6 tenths of liquid equivalent, which would indicate 1 to 4 inches are possible here. The biggest rounds of moisture may be central and southern Indiana, but that also could have a little bit more rain mixing in. We'll take another look at this 24 hours from now and really kind of wrap this up with a bow for you on Thursday. But I'd say right now, let's plan on some snow, some wet snow, some packable snow, some, well, maybe travel problem-making snow as we move from a Friday night through Saturday afternoon. Now, once we get to Saturday evening, we're starting to clear out, seeing colder air come in on Sunday. That cold air is going to come with some lake effect, but also, I don't want to sugarcoat it here at all. Brutal cold developing as we move from Sunday night through Monday and Tuesday. We're going to be talking single-digit highs, overnight lows well below zero. I do think we get into positive territory all 3 days to start next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but it is brutally cold. Temperatures try and moderate a little bit late in the week. We're just flat cold, not brutally cold, for Thursday afternoon and Friday. Have a little clipper system moving through Michigan and the Great Lakes next Friday morning to midday. Doesn't really dig too far south, but we'll watch it closely. Another chance of snow with a clipper system coming for next Sunday into Monday, the 26th into the 27th. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. Bundle up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
corn and beans down, slight gains in wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have all the numbers coming up from the end of the session. First, market analysis. And near the end of trade, I checked in for that with Arlen Suderman at StoneX. Markets mostly lower after a mostly higher start, but profit-taking set in early in the session, Arlen. Overall, maybe just time to take a step back after some very solid moves recently.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You look back, the lead March soybean contract, now that the January is off the board, March contract posted about $1.15 gains off of their December lows. And that came just right ahead of Christmas. So that's a pretty significant rally considering what the overall fundamentals are. Now, certainly we got the help from USDA on Friday for that final leg up, which is a big part of it. But we have to ask, how much does that really matter? Our stocks are still higher than a year ago level. And we have this massive crop from in Brazil. And I talked to our Brazil office this morning about the dryness in southern Brazil, and they've done their calculations. They've lowered their production estimate for Rio Grande do Sul in the southern part of the country where the stress is the greatest by about 2.4 million metric tons. But they said that is going to be partially offset by good yields in the north and center west of Mato Grosso, where the harvest has started and the yields are coming in higher than expected. So probably so far it could change, but so far we're looking at Brazil maybe dipping maybe a million and a half metric tons, but that still leaves it up close to 20 million metric tons above last year's crop.
Yeah, I tried to call the office this morning. They would not take my call, unfortunately. Let's talk about the weather in Argentina and Brazil and just what kind of a factor that is here now for the markets.
Well, I think Argentina is still the area of greatest concern because, as I indicated, northern Brazil belt, where the highest concentration of production is, the yields are coming in better than expected in the early harvest period, and they've had great growing conditions. That's going to offset some of the losses in the south. In Argentina, it's early enough in the growing season that they could still see some notable losses if the heat and dryness continues to be a problem. Now, the weather models are in disagreement about that, and there is some sense that as we move into February, we could see some improvement, but confidence is weak that far out, and so that remains a risk.
The USDA reports on Friday got a big boost from those reports. It carried over into Monday trade. Are we past that now, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think we are past it because we've seen those significant gains, and the funds have already built sizable long positions in the corn market, and we've taken prices up now to where we've increased farmer selling, and we have also bought more acreage. Now, the timeliness of that report was a little bit unfortunate in the fact that it came right as farmers were finishing up their planting decisions in Brazil for the big winter corn crop, which is where the majority of their exportable supplies come from, and ahead of the U.S. planting decisions for the Midwest for this coming year. And based on early indications, we are seeing a notable increase in corn seed sales for the Midwest as well. So for now, I think we're looking at kind of pulling back and waiting to see just what Brazil does with their crop, how the Argentine crop is affected by weather, and then what that March 31 planting intentions report says here in the Midwest.
Arlen Suderman there, chief commodities economist at StoneX. On the Hat Tuesday Farm Market Review, the final numbers down 2 cents on March and May corn, March 474 and a half, May 484 and three quarters, July a penny lower, 489. 1047 and a half, March beans dipping a nickel and a half. The May 1061 and a quarter down a nickel and a quarter, also a nickel and a half down on July 1072 and a half. And March wheat just to the high side, 546 and a quarter, a gain of a penny and a quarter. February live cattle flat at 197.40. April 198.15, down a nickel. Very quiet there. Feb lean hogs 83.62, up 45. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.